Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 19, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation and Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having eternal life. Now that brings us to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is a great passage. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And when God gave me the gift of pastor teacher, and I was training for the ministry at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I had so-called doctrinal types say they didn't believe that prayer worked. And I looked at them and I just couldn't believe I was hearing that. And there were several others there and they were all trying to tell, oh yeah, prayer worked. Well, I made up my mind right there. I was going to study the Word of God inside and out and know exactly the precisely correct procedure for prayer. Now, God commands us to pray. He wouldn't command us to do something that doesn't work. But there is a precisely correct procedure for it to work. a right thing must be done in a right way to be right. God commands us to pray. It's a mandate. But there is a precisely correct procedure. And I studied and studied and studied and taught the doctrine of prayer here many times. And as you have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the key is you living the spiritual life. The key is you attaining spiritual adulthood. The key is you having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Because when that is true, you have, first of all, personal love for God the Father. Where do your prayers go? Who do you pray to? You pray to the Father. And when you have personal love for God the Father, you want to talk to Him. You love Him. You want to go to prayer and talk and communicate to the one you love, God the Father. And so you pray day after day after day after day because you love God the Father. You look forward to prayer. And that's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. And that's the basis for intercessory prayer. That's the basis for having powerful and effective prayer when you pray for others. And praying for others is not only the ones who like you, but praying for the ones who hate you. That's impersonal love for all. And occupation with Jesus Christ, well, He becomes the most important person in your life. And when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, that's when your prayer life will be powerful and effective and will accomplish much. And there are many passages that teach that, and I've taught it again and again and again. And we now have people on our prayer list. In fact, they call up. They call up Upland Bible Church and ask to be put on our prayer list. Because word's gotten around. Hey, when that church prays for you, there's things that happen. But that's because you've learned precisely correct procedure. Well, that's what we have here, a great prayer promise. 1 John 5:14-15. Confidence in God. Confidence in God. What is confidence in God? You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, confidence in God, that results in great, powerful, and effective prayer, and it accomplishes much. That's what we have here in 1 John 5:14-15. So we've exegeted almost all of verse 14, not quite all of it, but I'll give you the corrected translation of verse 14. And this is, now listen, the confidence. This is the confidence which we have. Confidence is your personal love for the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, which we have. Who's we? We's we, ain't we? We are the believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, who have attained spiritual maturity. That's the we here. And this is the confidence that we, spiritually mature believers, have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer, notice it doesn't stop right there. Not just anything in prayer. That would be a Pandora's box. If we ask anything in prayer, now the key, according to His will. According to His will. And then that's as far as we exegeted, but the last part, He hears us. So the spiritually mature believer goes to prayer and asks in prayer. And when he does, he's asking according to the will of God. And he knows, the mature believer knows what the will of God is, because he has the maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. And you know the will of God from the Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, the more you'll know the will of God. And the mature believer has the maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. And therefore, he asks according to the will of God. The spiritually mature believer asks in prayer according to the will of God as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And the verb here to ask in prayer is the verb iteo. It's a prayer verb. Here's the prayer verb, iteo. A-I-T-E long O. Iteo. Iteo is the prayer verb to ask in prayer. The present tense is an iterative present. And the iterative present, again, who is the subject in this? The spiritually mature believer. Iterative present is repeated action, repeated action. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. Repeated action. That's the spiritually adult believer. He prays day after day after day, and not just once during the day. Now I come here every day and study, and I come here every day and pray because I look forward to it. I love to pray. I love to go to the Father, and I love to offer spiritual sacrifices because I'm a royal priest. He's made all of us royal priests. And royal priests offer sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices and food sacrifices. But we are a royal priesthood, and we offer spiritual sacrifices. Every one of us are a royal priest. And as a royal priest, we are commanded to offer sacrifices that please God. And what are those spiritual sacrifices that please God? Well, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 tells us exactly what they are. First of all, it is praising God. And then he defined exactly what that meant, to praise God. With your lips, thanking Him. Thanking God. Thanksgiving to God. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Thanksgiving to God. And the more you learn about God, the essence of God, the plan of God, the will of God, you have more and more spiritual sacrifices of thanksgiving that you send to the Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for who and what you are. Thank you that you're the sovereign God, the righteous and just God, the holy God, a God of virtue, love, a God of eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. Thank you for your essence. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your will. And what are those? Every time you have something more you thank God for, that's a spiritual sacrifice to the Father. You're offering from your royal priesthood a spiritual sacrifice to the Father. And then he doesn't stop there. That's verse 15. The spiritual sacrifices of prayer, the lips of your mouth offering thanksgiving to God. And then in verse 16, he tells us that these spiritual sacrifices include divine good production in your life. Those are spiritual sacrifices. Divine good production as a result of the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your soul, which motivates you to produce this divine good production. And another spiritual sacrifice that is a part of your royal priesthood is grace giving. Grace giving. And that is a great spiritual sacrifice that you offer to God. So, eitel here is the prayer verb, to ask in prayer. Present tense, iterative present, repeated action. Day after day after day. Middle voice is the indirect middle. The indirect middle places the emphasis on the agent. And the agent here in our verse is the spiritually mature believer. The believer who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And that produces the action of asking in prayer with total confidence. Asking in prayer with total confidence that God hears his prayer. And I hope that's true for every one of you. That you ask in prayer with total confidence that God hears your prayers. Subjunctive mood goes along with aeon to introduce this third class condition. The indefinite pronoun tis is anything. And again, like I said, if it just that the verse stopped right there, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything and we just stop there, why that would, well, you would all be asking a lot of stuff, but... But it doesn't stop there. If we ask anything according to his will. Prepositional phrase. Kata ta thalema autu. According to his will. And where do we find the will of God? We find that in the Word of God. And that's why you find a sound doctrinal teaching church. And then get your little patootie in there consistently, day after day after day, to get the teaching of the Word of God. Because it's the most important thing. You want to be there. You want to be there. You have a big smile on your face. That's why I loved having that group of ladies from New Mexico. They came here to get face-to-face teaching. They came in, big smiles on their faces. They were so happy to be here to get face-to-face Bible teaching. They called it a Bible conference. They came here to get a Bible conference. Face-to-face teaching was a Bible conference. But we got people who live here that can't even make it here. But here are people coming from New Mexico so that they could get face-to-face teaching of the Word of God. That does a faithful pastor's heart good. Did my heart good. Because sometimes, well, I just like the Apostle Paul got upset and perturbed from time to time when he saw believers react and peel off, and it gets to your soul. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who was a man's man, cried. He had tears as he was talking about it. Here were believers he knew. Here were people he introduced to Christ. Here were people he taught Bible doctrine to. And then they react and peel off. And they made themselves the enemy of God by their own bad decisions. And any faithful pastor, teacher, when that goes on, well, yeah, it is something that hard on your heart. You like to see people be positive. You like to see people like that New Mexico group of ladies that came in here looking forward to being here, smiling, happy. to get face-to-face Bible teaching. Well, that's what every pastor would love to see. We're not living in those times. We're living in times of apostasy and degeneracy, and the biggest problem is believers. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. So the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the winner believer enables him to pray according to the will of God the Father. And what does that result in? Powerful and effective prayer. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, and then the last little phrase we didn't exegete, He hears us. He hears us. This is the present active indicative of a akouo plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Akouo. This is what you all want. You want God the Father to listen to you, to hear you. Akouo. And akouo means literally to hear, to listen to. And most of the time in the Greek, when you have a direct object, it's in the accusative case. But there are times when the direct object's in the genitive case. Now, akouo, when the direct object is a thing, it's in the accusative case. However, when the direct object is a person, like God the Father, then it's in the genitive case. The genitive plural of ego is us, and that's winner believers, spiritually mature believers who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, and therefore they pray according to the will of God. And they have absolute confidence that He, God the Father, hears them. So the corrected translation of verse 14, this is the confidence that's in the heart of a winner believer, a spiritually mature believer, which we have, mature believers have, before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. And then that's just John just getting warmed up. This promise, that's only half the promise. Now verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, this is the conjunction chi plus the conditional particle aeon with the verb oida plus the conjunction ha ti with the present active indicative of akouo plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The conjunction chi. K-A-I. Now, chi here is an emphatic chi, and it may be translated indeed, or really, or certainly, or in fact. And we will translate this emphatic chi, in fact. In fact, and then the conditional particle aeon. Aeon, E-A-N. Aeon can mean either if or when. Here it means when. When's corrected translation. And then we have our old friend now. For those of you who are consistent and faithful, this is your old friend, oida. Oida. Oida is a frozen form. It is a perfect use as the present. The spiritually mature believer has learned the doctrine of prayer in the past with the result that he knows the doctrine of prayer now in the present. And so this is correctly translated. In fact, when we know, And then the conjunction hati will after verbs of dicendi, and that's verbs that mean to know, such as oida. Then it introduces an object clause. It tells us what the winner believer knows. And you translate it that. And then akuo, again, is the verb to hear. He hears. God the Father hears the prayers of the winner believer. He hears the prayers of the spiritually mature believer. And ego, the genitive plural direct object, us. In fact, when we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, and this is the nominative singular neuter of the relative pronoun host, plus the conditional particle aeon, plus the present middle subjunctive of the verb aiteo. The relative pronoun hosts plus aeon. H-O-S and then E-A-N. When you have the combination of hosts plus aeon, it means in whatever. That's, you translate this in whatever, and then our verb aiteo, the prayer verb, we might have asked in prayer. In whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we have the petitions. We have, once again, our old friend Oida repeated, plus the conjunction hati repeated with the present active indicative of echo and the accusative plural of itema with the definite article. So, once again, Oida, frozen form, perfect use of the present. The spiritually mature believer has learned the doctrine of prayer in the past, with the result that he knows the doctrine of prayer now in the present, and therefore we know. Hati, again, following oida, to know, introduces an object clause, translated that. And then we have echo. Echo. E-C-H, long O, echo. And echo means to have and to hold and to possess. Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 333, tells us that in our verse, echo refers to the advantages, the benefits, and the blessings which one enjoys, which the spiritually mature believer enjoys. It means advantages, benefits, blessings, which one enjoys, which the spiritually mature believer enjoys. And what are some of those great advantages, benefits, blessings? You have powerful and effective prayer. In your life, you have powerful and effective prayer, and you see it. Day after day after day, you see that powerful and effective prayer. So it means here, very special use, advantages, benefits, blessings, which the spiritually mature believer enjoys. And then we have the noun aitema, which is the noun that comes from the verb aiteo. So here's the noun that comes from the verb to pray, aitema. A-I-T, long E-M-A, aitema. And aitema means request. And so with echo, it means we obtain the requests. We are granted the requests. So that's the corrected translation. We obtain the request. We are granted the request. So, corrected translation. In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtained the requests that we desired of Him. This is the accusative plural neuter of the relative pronoun host, plus the perfect active indicative of the verb iteo again, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of autos. So we have the relative pronoun host, H-O-S, host, and the relative pronoun host means which prayer requests. So it means which, but which prayer requests, iteo, again, our verb to pray, we have asked. Which prayer requests we have asked. Perfect tense is the intensive perfect. In the intensive perfect, the emphasis is placed on the existing result of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, the winner believer, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the powerful and effective prayer of the spiritually mature believer as reality. Reality. It's real. And they see it again and again and again and again. The preposition apa literally means from or separation. However, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon again on page 87, says that with verbs of asking or desiring like we have, iteo, to ask in prayer, then apa is correctly translated of him, God the Father. So now we have the corrected translation of 1 John 5:14-15. And it sounds like this. And this is the confidence which we, spiritually mature believers, have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the request which we have asked of Him. Now, is that not absolutely fantastic? That's a promise. That's a promise. Now, God's not a man that He should lie. God gives you a promise. This is absolute truth. So this ought to encourage you, all of you, encourage all of you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. To find that sound doctrinal Bible teaching church and get in and consistently and faithfully learn. Learn, learn, believe, believe, believe. Learn and believe God's Word so that you can learn the will of God is in the Word of God. So you can learn the will of God. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Become spiritually mature believers. Have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. And when you do, you will have maximum confidence in God, in who and what God is. Maximum confidence in God. And now you will also know the precisely correct procedure. God wants us all to pray. But a right thing must be done in a right way to be right. And that demands precisely correct procedure. And that's all revealed in the Word of God. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, you will learn that precisely correct procedure. You will know exactly how to do a right thing, pray the right way. And then, then it's really, really fun. It's really fun. When you believed in Jesus Christ, God did so many fantastic things for you. He gave you 2 royal commissions. He commissioned you a royal priest. He commissioned you a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. Those are 2 absolutely phenomenal grace commissions unique to this dispensation, unique to the church age. You are all a priest, a royal priest. You are all a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as a royal priest, you get to offer spiritual sacrifices to the Father. And you get to, as a royal ambassador, present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So, one, confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has attained spiritual adulthood. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has attained spiritual adulthood. Two, confidence is the virtue that you direct toward God. It's a virtue directed toward God. It is confidence that you have in God and in the Word of God. So confidence is the virtue that the believer directs toward God. Three, confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowing the will of God. Confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowing the will of God. Four, therefore, effectiveness in prayer must relate to you knowing the will of God. And that means you having a maximum amount of the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. You have believed the Word of God again and again and again, assembling. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. And that's a mandate. And as you fulfill that mandate, what are you assembling for? You're assembling with positive volition and humility. You're assembling to learn God's Word. Learn it and believe it and have it in your heart. And it covers all kinds of areas, but it's certainly, since God commissioned you a royal priest, He wants you to offer spiritual sacrifices that please Him. And He's explained exactly what those spiritual sacrifices are that do please Him. So therefore, confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowing the will of God. And therefore, effectiveness in prayer must relate to knowing the will of God. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 is a prayer promise for all of us as royal family of God. It's a prayer promise for all of us, for us to grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you are a believer in spiritual maturity, in spiritual adulthood. And then, I've already taught James, but turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. 16b, the prayer of a righteous man. That's a grace righteous believer, spiritually mature believer. A grace righteous believer is a spiritually mature believer. The prayer of a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, is what? Powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. And then there's an illustration of exactly what James is teaching. And who's the example of a grace righteous believer? Who's the example of a spiritually mature believer? Elijah. Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The example of what we have at the end of verse 16, the prayer of a grace righteous, spiritually mature believer is powerful and effective. And what's the illustration? Spiritually mature believer Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, was Elijah special? Does this only work for Elijah? No. This is true of every grace righteous believer, every spiritually mature believer. Your prayers are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much. And there's nothing like that. And when you attain spiritual adulthood, one, you want to pray. You want to offer those spiritual sacrifices to the Father. And your prayers are powerful and effective. It's a weapon. For Elijah, he saw it as a weapon. There was the king in charge of Israel at that time was Ahab. And Ahab was horrible king, reversionistic king. And Elijah prayed, no rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And when it doesn't rain in an agricultural economy, there's no crop, there's no food, there's no money, there's nothing. That was a part of the 5 cycles of national discipline. And then, after 3.5 years, then he prayed that it would rain. He went up on top of a mountain. He had his servant with him. And he says, go up to the top of the mountain and look and see if you see the clouds coming. And the servant came back, no. Oh, go check it again. And then he kept praying. Came back a second time, no. He did that 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. The 7th time he went and he came back. He said, you see anything? Yet there's a little cloud about the size of your fist out there. And Elijah says, well, you better get going because it's going to pour rain. And they got and ran all the way. And it did rain. Now, that's powerful and effective prayer. I tell you, I've kind of seen this in a little bit on a fishing trip. And we were out on this little reservoir, Deb and I. We love to go bass fishing. We're out there, and here, dark, black cloud. Look, lightning, lightning, lightning. And so Deb started praying. She started praying. She didn't pray that it wouldn't rain. She just said, her prayer was, Father, just move those clouds around so they go around both ways, but don't come here. And they went around, didn't come there. It never rained a drop out there. We just stayed out there and caught more fish. And it's fun to pray. It's fun to pray when you have the precisely correct procedure. It's fun to pray day after day after day. Turn over to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with confidence. And again, this is confidence when you attain spiritual maturity. Confidence because you have personal love for the Father and occupation with Christ. Let us therefore draw near with confidence, the winner believer, to the throne of grace. For prayer, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Now, the only believer that draws near with confidence to the throne of grace is the spiritually adult believer. Not the baby believer, not the adolescent believer. Certainly not the carnal reversionistic believer, but the spiritually mature believer. The most effective prayer and prayer life begins at spiritual adulthood. Because now the believer has a thorough understanding of the will of God. And his prayers comply with the will of God. Until the believer attains spiritual adulthood, his prayers will be semi-effective at best. God will answer some prayers of baby believers and adolescent believers who are in fellowship just to encourage them. We were up at Cold Creek one time. We had a cabin up there for a while. We're up at Cold Creek. Our sons, Derek and Dave, were just little tiny shavers. And we're out by Cold Creek and they're going, oh, Dad, Mom, I wish we had a Pepsi. And I said, well, why don't you pray? Oh, okay. So they prayed that God would send a Pepsi. And they finished the prayer, just barely finished the prayer, and down the creek comes this can of Pepsi, right down the creek. They took that can out. They go, wow, that was amazing. Now, they weren't mature believers. They were young believers. But God answers the prayer of young believers and adolescent believers sometimes to encourage them. And that's great. But when you attain spiritual adulthood, now that's when it really gets exciting. Point six, prayer is virtue dependent. Prayer is virtue dependent. And therefore, when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that is when your prayers will be powerful and effective and they will accomplish much. In spiritual childhood, your prayers are not very effective because most of your petitions are related to the lust patterns of your sin nature. And your intercessions for other people are only for those people that you like. But all intercessory prayer must be, intercessory prayer should be for not only those that you like and who like you, but also for those who hate you, for those who malign you, judge you, slander you, for those who try to destroy you. That's a part of impersonal love for all. And that's when intercessory prayer really becomes powerful. 7. The great power in intercessory prayer is when you have impersonal love for all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Those who like you and those who don't like you. Those who love you and those who hate you. Those who you like to be with and those who judge you, slander you, and malign you and try to destroy you. 8. The effectiveness of prayer and the spiritually mature believer is also seen in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. So turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. It starts out, I love the Lord. Now we're given a mandate, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here is the mature believer that has fulfilled that mandate. I love the Lord because he hears my voice, his prayers. He hears my prayer for mercy, because he turned his ear to me and listened to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Powerful and effective prayer as long as he lives. That's the spiritually mature believer. So the effectiveness of prayer of the mature believer is seen in Psalm 116, 1 and 2. 9. Another promise to the believer in spiritual adulthood is found in John 15:7. So turn over to John 15. Another promise to the believer in spiritual adulthood is found in John 15:7. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice there's condition here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. All right. What does that mean, if you abide in me? Well, you should know this. John, this is the Gospel of John, and John has taught this again and again and again in 1 John. That is, live the spiritual life. If you abide in me, if you will live the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, live it in the power to live the unique spiritual life is a supernatural power The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. That power is God, the Holy Spirit. So if you abide in me, you're living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. And my words abide in you. That's the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Now you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. So there are two conditions in here. Condition number one, live the spiritual life. You must be living by the power of the Spirit of God. And secondly, my words abide in you. That's the teaching ministry of the Spirit and having maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. So the key to powerful and effective prayer is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, and get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Because by that time, you will know the will of God, and you will have divine viewpoint thinking to know exactly how to use this weapon of prayer effectively. By that time, you will know the will of God and have enough divine viewpoint to know exactly how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. 10. One of the signs of spiritual adulthood is your devotion to prayer in your life. One of the signs of spiritual adulthood is your devotion to prayer in your life. You see, spiritual adulthood, you know and you appreciate the two royal commissions God gave to you at the moment of salvation. He commissioned you a royal priest, and he commissioned you a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And you know exactly what that means. You know, as a royal priest, you are to offer spiritual sacrifices. And you know exactly what those spiritual sacrifices are. And you know that very important part is prayer. It is from your lips and praying to the Father, your thanksgiving, the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for who and what He is. So one of the signs of spiritual adulthood is your devotion to prayer in your life. You understand your royal commission, you understand your royal priesthood, and you fulfill that and offer consistent and faithful spiritual sacrifices, such as prayer. Turn over to Romans 12. Turn over to Romans 12, and we'll end with this tonight. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. All right, let's start at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy, and that is virtue love. Specifically in this context, impersonal love for all. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's impersonal love for all. Give preference to one another in honor. That's the grace, righteousness of spiritual maturity. not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, that's hope three, great blessing for all eternity, persevering in tribulation, undeserved suffering for blessing, and spend much time in prayer. Spend much time in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, the grace righteous production of the mature believer. Bless those who persecute you. You can do that when you attain spiritual adulthood. You have impersonal love for all. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And be of the same mind toward one another. All right. And I hope that for all of you will make those good decisions to assemble consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I just love to have all of you have the confidence, first of all, to want to go in prayer. And have the confidence of knowing that your prayers are powerful and effective and they accomplish much. God the Father hears and God the Father answers. And that is, I hope that's true for all of you. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.